Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one. Doctor, everything will be alright. Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask them how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down,
hi, this is Brendan Moak. You're currently listening to WGXC Acro, 90.7 FM, coming to you from Hudson, New York.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we are going to hear from Ann Rabb of NYPIRG talking about the Climate Change Superfund Act that would require fossil fuel companies in New York to pay a fee based on their individual percentage share of total greenhouse gas emissions released into the atmosphere. Could generate $30 billion in 10 years. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. And the moon turns to blood.
Turn out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Raymond Pignon reports in Columbia Green Media that David Darling's 17 years as Catskill Village Police Chief ended August 8th, when his retirement became official. The report says the Village of Catskill Board of Trustees would name Lieutenant Ronald Frasello as his replacement at its meeting August 10th. Darling also had a 35-year career with the New York State Police and was a U.S. Army Military Police Patrol Supervisor during the Vietnam War. He also worked 1 year with the Saugerties Police Department. Darling said, and I quote, "It's not easy to leave something you know well, but there comes a time when you have to say goodbye. I have 6 grandchildren, and they all live locally. I'm going to spend a lot of time with them," end quote.
Melny Lekasevic reports for Capital Region Independent Media that Jeff Friedman, president and executive director of the Greene County Chamber of Commerce, has submitted his resignation, effective in late September. Friedman started with the chamber in February 2013, leading the group for nearly a decade. Quote, "I told the board I would stay until the end of September," unquote, Friedman said. Quote, "They are working on a plan to search for a replacement, and they are also making plans for how the chamber will operate in the interim between my departure and the new person," unquote. Friedman will join his family's business headquartered in Clifton Park, but he will continue living in Catskill. Quote, "My brother has a contracting company, a floor care company, and it's been growing steadily for quite a while," unquote, Friedman said. Quote, "He has asked me to partner with him in the company and manage the business end," unquote. Friedman sees the change as a return to his roots and a new challenge. Quote, "I just decided the time was right. I spent a lot of time at the chamber and I love the job. I love the chamber and I love Greene County. I love what I do, but this was an offer and a challenge that I felt I needed to take," unquote, he said. The search for Friedman's replacement has begun. Chamber of Commerce Board Chair Nicole Bliss said a search committee has already been established. Quote, "If you happen to know of anyone who may be interested in such an opening, please feel free to direct them to me for consideration," unquote, said Bliss. The president and executive director serve as a communicator, facilitator, and interactive community planner, and is responsible for the development, implementation, and assessment of the chamber programs, projects, and events to ensure each member's business's investment in the chamber meets their needs, according to the job listing. Read more about this story at theupstater.com.
Patricia R. Doxey in the Daily Freeman compares Mark Molinaro and Pat Ryan, the two candidates running in a special election August 13th through the 23rd to serve in Angelo Delgado's 19th congressional district seat for the final weeks of his term. Molinaro, a Republican, is currently the Dutchess County executive. Molinaro is well known locally, holding public office since he was 18. First as a Village of Tivoli trustee, then as its mayor, then as its county legislator, state assembly person, and now county executive. He also lost a bid for governor against then-Governor Andrew Cuomo in 2018. Molinaro said, and I quote, "My entire life, and I do not apologize for it, has been about trying to make government function for the people. I want Congress and Washington to function for the people of upstate New York," end quote. Ryan is a West Point graduate and Iraq War veteran who has been Ulster County Executive since 2019 after losing to Delgado in 2018's crowded Democrat congressional primary election. Ryan said, and I quote, "What I think the American people need and deserve right now are patriots. Patriots who understand the existential nature of the threat to our democracy. When you look at other Americans storming our Capitol and willing to take away our fundamental rights, and that's what I'm standing up for," end quote. Molinaro does not often talk about his party's position on the attempted coup on January 6, 2021, nor about his party's view on abortion, instead focusing on inflation. Molinaro said, and I quote, I'm running at this important moment because I believe the district, the residents in this community in upstate New York, deserve somebody who is going to leverage every resource, every experience, and every relationship on their behalf to deliver real results, just as I have done every day of my adult life. End quote. Ryan contrasts his career with Molinaro. Ryan said, and I quote, "We've got plenty of career politicians in Washington. What's missing are real leaders, leaders with backbone, leaders who have put their life on the line for our country, who built successful businesses, who brought people during difficult and trying times, and ultimately leaders who deliver," end quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
Brendan J. Lyons reports for the Times-Union that former Governor Andrew Cuomo on August 10th filed a lawsuit against State Attorney General Letitia James, accusing her office of wrongly rejecting his request that the state pay for his legal representation in the federal claim filed by a state police investigator accusing him of sexually harassing and inappropriately touching her. A female trooper also named the state police and former secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, as defendants in the case. DeRosa's legal fees are being paid by the state. In the complaint filed in the state Supreme Court in New York County, Cuomo alleged James' office on April 12th rejected his request for counsel in defense of the federal lawsuit without providing a reason. Delaney Kempner, a spokesperson for the Attorney General's office, released a statement stating that Cuomo, quote, is trying to force New Yorkers to pay his legal bills because he believes sexual harassment was within his, quote, scope of employment as governor. Sexually harassing young women who work for you is not part of anyone's job description. Taxpayers should not have to pony up for legal bills that could reach millions of dollars so Mr. Cuomo's lawyer can attack survivors of his abuse, unquote. The matter, filed on Cuomo's behalf by attorney Rita Glavin, includes a detailed breakdown of their allegations that the Attorney General's investigation of sexual harassment claims against the former governor was, quote, one-sided, unquote, and, quote, shoddy and biased, unquote. The trooper's lawsuit, which seeks unspecified damages and was filed in U.S. District Court in Brooklyn, lists allegations against Cuomo and his administration that largely mirror those outlined in a damning report issued by the state attorney general's office 1 year ago. That report concluded the former governor was a serial sexual harasser who cultivated a toxic work environment. The trooper's accusations were among the most damaging leveled against the former governor, who had urged a senior investigator on his protective detail to offer the now 31-year-old female investigator a job on the special unit that protects the governor, according to the Attorney General's report. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Maura Rausner reports for Columbia Green Media that 10,000 tires still remain at Coxsackie Green Tire Recycling, even though that is more than the 1,000 allowed, and the company has only paid $750 of the $2,250 in fines for violations. And all of the tires were supposed to be removed more than a year ago. Town Supervisor Richard Hans sounds frustrated and says he wants the State Department of Environmental Conservation to revoke a permit the department issued for tire storage at one of the company's two locations. Owner Shane Foster claims he is shipping the tires to India to recycle them back into oil. Foster said, and I quote, "So far I've been shipping the tires to India in overseas containers that cost $2,500. The reason for shipping to India is that they are extracting oil from the tires to eliminate landfill waste. They are essentially converting the tires back into oil," end quote. He also claims that, and I quote, "COVID-19 is the reason that the tires piled up so much. I think what we are doing is good for the environment. Everyone's talking about the tires so negatively. However, I feel eliminating landfill waste is a positive thing," end quote.
Mid-Hudson News reports the State Public Service Commission has approved the construction of Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation's transmission line known as the HNSB project. Plan calls for rebuilding 23.6 miles of transmission lines in the city of Kingston, in the towns of Ulster and Saugerties in Ulster County, and the town and village of Catskill. The utility said the rebuild will help meet the energy needs of local communities, address aging infrastructure, and will enhance electric service reliability. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that the city of Beacon has added an all-electric car to its fleet that currently includes 4 hybrid police vehicles. And the hybrid cars are being charged by renewable energy. City Administrator Chris White said, and I quote, "We are producing about 70% of the electricity that the city uses, including for recharging these cars at our solar facility. We are also going to be expanding how much solar energy we produce by putting an installation on our highway garage early next year," end quote. Beacon Solar Energy, the solar power from an array on top of the former city landfill. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, sunny with a high near 79 degrees. It will be mostly clear Friday night with a temperature low of around 54 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 79 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 55 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, August 12th, tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Including at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Sugar Shack Jukebox with Jared Wiggishud, and he's live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street with all sorts of mostly new funk, R&B, rock, pop, psychedelic music, soul, reggae, hip-hop, and more. At 4 p.m., we're live from Acre with the WGXC afternoon show. At 6 p.m., we head live to Catskill for Clubhouse Radio. We're live from the clubhouse on Main Street with local youth telling their stories and playing their songs until 7 p.m., with some Hudson youth to talk about what they've been reading on the Bound by Books program. Then we head back to Catskill at 8 p.m., live from the Avalon Lounge with performances from Miles Hewitt, Nighttime, and Thor and Friends on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM and at WGXC.org.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
World-renowned composer, improviser, bassist Luke Stewart comes to Ulster County Sunday, August 21st to perform at Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. Luke Stewart is known for his work as leader of the Exposure Quintet. He's also played with Irreversible Entanglements and others, and is generally regarded as one of the best jazz bass players going today. Turn out Sunday, August 21st to Opus 40 in Saugerties from 5 to 7 p.m. to see Luke Stewart perform. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, where you can list your own events by clicking on the Add an Event button. Thank you.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 12th. Early on this morning, we see 55 degrees over in Medusa and 65 in Germantown. Soil is coming in at 68 degrees. Spectacular looking day in store, unless you sunburn easily. So don't forget the protection, light clothes, sunblock, big floppy hat, whatever. UV exposure will be up. Count that for the whole weekend too. Otherwise, today's going to be feeling great with dew points in the low 50s and a high temperature of 84 happening at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 55 degrees. Saturday, again, looking great. High of 84, clear and dry. 56 degrees overnight takes us into another very comfortable Sunday with a high of 83. Monday, high in the upper 70s with a light chance of rain. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:34 a.m., then low tide at 10:25 a.m. High tide again at 4:07 p.m., then low tide once again at 10:36 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 80 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:48 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:56 a.m. The weekend report is looking great with the Rip Van Winkle Sandbar times forming on Saturday from 8:45 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and then again from 9:15 p.m. into 1:30 a.m. Sunday. Again on Sunday, it returns 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And that current, again, it's going to be strong and that's going to allow it to plunge deeply down so it exposes more sand. Be aware. Pollen levels are also going to be up. Looking way up, we see the Perseids peak tonight. The moon will be bright, so it will be harder to trip on things, but it will also be harder to see the shooting stars. So, set up with an obstruction to the south. Trees, buildings, mountains are great objects. Hope for low cloud cover. The best viewing time will be 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. on Saturday, and hopefully the moon will be obstructed by the mountains for most of Greene County at least. Columbia County, you won't have quite so much protection. Look to the north-northeast, about 60 degrees up from the horizon. Solar wind speed is currently 553.1 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 58. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wavefarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bella Jansons of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support. Thank you.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I have a request to hear music on your radio station. The artist is Roson Roland Kirk. The name of the song is Blackness, B-L-A-C-K-N-U-S-S. Thank you.
Now we gathered here on the universe at this time, this particular time, to listen to the 36 black notes of the piano. There's 36 black notes and 52 white notes. We don't mean to eliminate nothing, but we're going to just hear the black notes at this time, if you don't mind. Blackness, B-L-A-C-K-N-U-S-S. Thank you.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
No election official should have to fear for their lives while focused on their duties and service to our democracy. Our democratic process cannot survive undefended attacks on the people we rely to vote.
Vermont Secretary of State Jim Condos joined House lawmakers for a roundtable about how doubts about the 2020 election results continue to impact the work of local boards of election. Former Michigan elections official Tina Barton gave emotional testimony about the death threat she received after debunking misinformation.
It was laced with obscenities, threats to my life and my family members' lives, and used sexually charged language.
The group recommended a new federal agency to counter election misinformation, aggressive prosecution of threats, and increased funding and resources for election administration. Several major news outlets are asking a federal court to unseal documents connected to the FBI search of former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home this week. The Justice Department also submitted its own request to unseal certain warrant materials. Attorney General Merrick Garland confirmed that he personally approved the decision to seek a search warrant.
Longstanding department rules and our ethical obligations prevent me from providing further details as to the basis of the search at this time.
The Washington Post now reports the search was regarding classified documents, including some related to nuclear weapons. Trump claims his attorneys were cooperating fully with federal investigators prior to the search. Garland also addressed a series of threats against members of the FBI and DOJ.
They protect the American people from violent crime, terrorism, and other threats to their safety while safeguarding our civil rights.
On Thursday, an armed suspect was shot and killed after an attempted breach of an FBI building in Cincinnati. His motive remains unclear. President Joe Biden signed into law a bill to assist veterans exposed to toxic substances during their military service. Millions of veterans will now be eligible for expanded health care access and disability related to burn pit smoke and other toxic exposure. The CDC is taking a new approach to COVID-19 that focuses on learning to live with the virus instead of strict infection prevention. The agency is dropping social distancing recommendations and de-emphasizes using regular testing to screen. The guidance continues to encourage testing for people with symptoms and their close contacts, and recommends masks be worn indoors in about half of the country. Earlier this week, White House Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci expressed disappointment over Americans' divided outlook on the disease.
When you tell people they need to mask in an indoor congregate setting when you're in a zone that has a high dynamic of infection, and that is looked upon as an encroachment on your freedom, we've never had that before. It's almost inexplicable.
I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're approaching the midterm elections, but some legislators in Wisconsin are still trying to decertify the Wisconsin vote in the 2020 presidential election. The Wisconsin Examiner reports that State Representative Tim Rantham is leading an effort for decertification, which, according to election law experts, is akin to tilting at windmills. The U.S. Constitution doesn't provide for backtracking after certification. So why is Rantham persisting in this effort? Well, he's also a candidate for governor in Wisconsin, and according to a new series from the Brennan Center for Justice that we'll be examining next week on the American Democracy Minute, being an election denier is good for your polling and for your fundraising. Election officials have found little in the way of fraud in the state, with a total of 24 people being prosecuted for election crimes, 0.15% of Biden's margin of victory. Rantham only has two other Republican House members and no senator signed on to his effort, but nor have other Republicans spoken out to say there wasn't any widespread fraud in Wisconsin, showing how far the big lie has permeated into the psyches of rank-and-file voters. Meanwhile, the AP reports that former President Donald Trump is also still clinging to the decertification effort in Wisconsin. As recently as last month, he has used social media and phone calls to pressure Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to support decertification. Links to more information can be found at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
As if a price was
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
We're talking with Ann Ray with NYPER, the New York Public Interest Research Group, and among other issues that Ann and NYPER is involved about is trying to build support for the Climate Change Superfund Act. They'll be having statewide Make Polluters Pay climate caravan later this month, early September. So Ann, why don't you just sort of bring us up to date? What is the Climate Change Superfund Act and why is it important?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, the Climate Change Superfund Act, a bill was introduced in May, is a huge step forward in terms of obtaining funding to deal with climate crisis. And what it does is it establishes a polluters pay principle, legal precedent under State Superfund, which is a toxic waste cleanup program where polluters have to pay to clean up their toxic messes. It establishes that for greenhouse gas emissions coming from the coal, oil, and gas industries. And it's looking backwards at their past greenhouse gas emissions. And they have to pay a fee for those emissions, which have created the climate crisis.
Now why sort of this approach as opposed to, say, a carbon tax?
Well, that's still in the mix from what I understand. You know, other organizations are looking at various fees and taxes going forward on the climate crisis contributors.
Okay. And, you know, how much money are you looking to raise from this proposal? And, you know, what would the money be used for?
$3 billion a year, $3 billion over 10 years. And the money is to be used for remedial climate initiatives, such as building seawalls, such as massive upgrades to roads and bridges, subways and transit systems, with all the increased flooding that we're going to be experiencing.
So it would not be, say, to help build out new renewables?
No, unfortunately, because it's for legal reasons. We don't want to be violating the Clean Air Act. We don't want to be violating a number of other laws. It can only be spent on remedial climate initiatives that provide compensation for damages from those past greenhouse gas emission actions.
Right. Now, is this separate from the Superfund Act, or is it amended?
No, this creates a whole new Climate Change Superfund Act. It does so by amending the law to establish this fund specifically to deal with the climate crisis.
Okay. Now, this bill, I believe you said, was introduced in May. What has been the response so far from, you know, the governor's office, legislative leaders, the Climate Action Council?
The office is interested, and they're looking at it.
I'm sorry, you said the governor's office is interested?
The governor's office is interested. They're looking at it. They have questions and concerns. They're in the review period. Many organizations, so far 50 national, state, and regional organizations have come out in support. And the Climate Action Council, we have not met with the Climate Action Council yet.
Which polluters really would be hit hardest by this?
Well, your utilities, the oil and gas industries, and any company that contributed to greenhouse gas emissions, including the making of a product, gas stations, etc. So, there is a cap in terms of it's companies that make a certain amount of profit, focusing on those companies. And apparently there is, there is a technical way to determine with great accuracy the share of these greenhouse gas emissions by specific fossil fuel companies over the last 70 years. So the state can assign liability and require compensation from the companies commensurate with their emissions.
Now, wasn't there a similar proposal promoted at the congressional level? And if so, has that advanced anywhere?
No, unfortunately, you're right. Last year, NYPERG and other organizations tried to get this bill introduced in Congress, and Senator Manchin stopped it from happening.
Hmm. Well, I heard he switched a little bit on his position. Any chance going to try to revitalize it, or we're going to focus on the state for the time being?
Yes, we're taking the building block state approach. So we're also trying to get this bill introduced in Maryland and other states.
Okay. Now, I understand you're talking about a Make Polluters Pay climate caravans, I guess late August, early September. What's that going to be?
Well, we're going to be traveling around the state from August 24th through Labor Day, September 5th, having news events with a climate crisis caravan and a huge inflatable pink pig representing the fossil fuel industry. And we're going to be having news events with officials and climate organizations calling for the governor to include this really important bill in our proposed executive budget.
Now, actually, I'll note that 1977 or something, I actually drove a converted school bus around the state for NYPERG and went to county fairs to talk about both trying to pass the bottle bill, which eventually we succeeded in, and to stop nuclear power. What type of vehicles are going to be involved in this caravan?
Well, unfortunately, Mark, it's going to be a regular old van. And yes, it's not going to be, unfortunately, an electric vehicle.
So what are you trying to get, climate groups to do? And in general, how are we faring with, climate? Obviously, some people are very excited about this new Inflation Reduction Act. A lot of environmental justice groups feel it gives away way too much to the fossil fuel companies. But, in general, how is New York, looking on climate at this moment?
Well, we're way behind schedule in terms of meeting the Climate Act's 2030 goal. Way behind schedule. NYPERG last month did a climate scorecard, and we looked at how we're doing in terms of investing in renewable energy, how we're doing in terms of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and the failure by the legislature and the governor to not pass the All-Electric Building Act to start electrifying buildings, new buildings going forward starting in 2024. That failure means that we're not reducing the state's biggest greenhouse gas emitters, buildings. 32% of our emissions come from buildings. and the failure to pass the Electric Vehicle Charging Station Expansion Act. We need to ramp up and transition to electric cars, as you mentioned earlier. So the failure of those two bills not being passed into law has put New York State behind. We're lagging behind.
Can people, how, if people want to participate in this caravan, how best can they do that? And how in general should people trying to be engaged with the Make Polluters Pay campaign and in climate change in general?
Well, we would love it if they contacted NYPERG. You can email me at arabe at NYPERG, NYPIRG.org, or call myself, 518-560-1849, and we can hook them into climate groups in their and these upcoming news events, as well as other coalition building efforts to mobilize the public and put pressure on the legislature and governor to take action that we so desperately need.
And are there any other exciting things that NYPERG is doing short term we should be aware of?
Well, NYPERG is working with two statewide coalitions. We're excited about this. You know, we're talking about working with over 150 organizations in the Renewable Heat Now Coalition, Climate Can't Wait Coalition, and other initiatives to really work and be a much bigger, squeakier wheel that starts next January to pass these critical climate reform bills.
Okay. Final question. Can you just repeat, was it $3 billion a year you're trying to get from the Make Polluter Superfund bill?
Yes. The Climate Change Superfund Act would require greenhouse gas emitting polluters to provide $3 billion a year, $30 billion over 10 years.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Ann Rabe from NYPERG, New York Public Interest Research Group, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And I'm not sure we've had a better renewable weather forecast than today's. First, we start off with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. And that's dropped to $4.39 at the Sunoco in Tannersville, according to the Gas Buddies site. It says that's the cheapest gas in town. The air quality forecast is also a good 18, similar to Thursday, and the UV forecast is a 7 for Friday, August 12th. That is in the high range, and you're supposed to wear a wide-brimmed hat, sunglasses, and SPF 30 plus sunscreen if you're out in the midday sun on Friday. The National Weather Service in Albany says that the next 3 days will be sunny. Good for local solar panels. Friday, sunny and a high of 75. A north wind spinning local windmills at 7 miles per hour on Friday. Friday night should be mostly clear with a low around 52 and a northwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Saturday, the forecast is the same. Sunny and 75 with a north wind 3 to 6 miles per hour and a low around 54. And Sunday repeats the pattern with sunny skies, a high of 78 and a low around 57. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Next, we hear from three legendary jazz performers, Peter Brotzman on reeds, Milford Grave on drums, and William Parker on bass. This is Sides C, from their 2022 album, Historic Music, Past Tense Future.